Let us go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Gracious God, we come before you and pray that you would bless us as we seek you in new ways, seek new understanding, seek new faith, seek new healing. In the power of Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I love the story of the 10 lepers. And one reason I love it is because there's room for everybody to climb inside of it. Most of the stories in the New Testament, virtually every single one, are about individual people and Jesus. But this story stands by itself. It's not about an individual. It's about a group of people who are standing in the same place. They're standing in common need. It's a little congregation of 10. And maybe they're very different individuals, but they stand together because they all need something, don't they? And they look at Jesus from a distance, and they cry out, "Have mercy on us." Now, the name of their particular need was this awful disease that we call leprosy. The name of the need isn't what matters. I don't want you to get caught up in the leprosy. What matters is how many of us have the need in our lives for Jesus to bring healing. How many of us belong in this circle of those who are calling out for help from Jesus? If there's a sadness that's pressing against you today, you belong in the circle. If you've got some guilt that you just can't get rid of, you belong in the circle. If your soul is tired, or you're confused, or you're scared, or you're lonely, you're in the group too. If you're in the dark right now and you've got some hard decisions and you need to make these decisions but you don't quite know what to do, you're in too. Doesn't have to be you that's on your mind. Could be somebody else that you care about who's also in trouble. And you'd do anything you could to help them out. You're in too. People in that circle don't have to feel close to Jesus. And they don't have to feel like Jesus is close to them. In fact, quite often what happens is they see Jesus a long way off. But that's all right. You raise your hand. "I'm here too, Jesus. Can you see me? Do you care about my need? Will you have mercy on me?" Now, what I hope you don't mind is who else is in that circle with you. You see, real need can put you in very different company. That's the thing about leprosy. You see, when the doctor diagnoses you as a leper, then you lose all your old memberships. In the New Testament times, a leper couldn't stay where he or she used to belong. Lepers had to leave their place. They had to leave their position. They had to leave their family. They had to wander on outside of the community. They even had to leave the city gates. In that group of 10 were some people who didn't trust each other. In fact, in that group of 10 were some people who had previously been enemies to each other. Imagine that. It's interesting what happens when you find yourself in need. It's interesting who you end up with. It's funny how all those old divisions didn't matter. They don't matter at all when basically the only fellowship you're in is the fellowship of suffering. And they were all in it together. Jesus gave an answer to this group and they were crying out from a distance. But to people like us, that answer is kind of shocking. You know, he doesn't say something like, "Children, I know how much it hurts." He doesn't say, "Won't you tell me about your pain?" He doesn't say a tender word at all. He doesn't even come a step closer to them to touch them or to tell them they've been healed. What he says is this. Did you see what he says? He said, "Go That sounds like a command to me. What about you? Go. Folks, sometimes you need comfort and what you get is a commandment. When you go to God and you're seeking God to give you comfort, sometimes what God gives you is a stern command. Do this. And I have people who come to me all the time, they say, "You know what, I talked to God about this difficult situation that I found myself in, and what I got from God was not a word of comfort, but a word of command to go, to do." You come here on Sunday and your world is broken and you're dragging yourself in here and you're limping to worship because you need some word of comfort and hope, and what do you get? You get a sermon on stewardship. What in the world was that about, God? That is not what I wanted to hear. Don't you hate it when that happens? I think what this story suggests is that sometimes the need for healing may best be answered in the hearing and the obeying of a new commandment. Go and show yourselves to the priests. That's what he says. Now, that's even a peculiar command. Do you know that that's what a leper did after they were healed? You went and showed yourself to the priest so that you could go back in to the place of worship. But you didn't do that until you'd already been healed. These 10 aren't cured. But Jesus tells them to go and act as if they had already been cured. That they need to live their life as if they were cured. As if their prayer had been answered. Imagine that. He doesn't hand them a healing, but he does give them something to do on faith. In other words, he'll honor them with this partnership in their own healing. If you do what I ask you to do, then the healing will come. Are you getting this, folks? If you do what I ask you to do, then the healing will come. That's the meaning of all of God's commandments. All of what we call the law is really God's gracious insistence that we take the steps that we need to take and do our part in this faith. That we do what we're supposed to do. Folks, you have choices and you have responsibilities and you have to follow and be willing to do what God has already called you to do. I know a lot of people in life who are struggling with difficulties and they're not even beginning to take the initial steps that they know they need to take. They're seeking out God's will. They want to know what God wants them to do and they're not even willing to take the first step. You know the first step. You know a lot about what God wants you to do. God wants you to pray. God wants you to read Scripture. God wants you to worship. God wants you to be involved in caring for the needs of others. Do we not know that? We know that. God says a good beginning point is to start doing the things that you already know that you're supposed to be doing. And once you begin doing those things, then God leads you to other places where you begin to grow in your faith. Real transformation for most people happens on the road. You know, these 10 decide to trust the grace of a commandment, and uncured they are obedient. And what do you know? What do you know? Somewhere down the road, they all discover they're wearing new skin. Most people don't get better all of a sudden. Somewhere between a word we heard and our final destination, we find out that we've gotten better. We'd like to be fixed right now, but the fixing usually doesn't happen right away. It happens down the road to the faithful. I talk to people all the time and they tell me, you know, I didn't ever make this decision to really just accept Christ as my Savior. I just grew up in church and I went to Sunday school and I was in church and I just was changed. And I looked behind me and I saw all these ways that God was working in my life. And little did I know at the time that I was being shaped and transformed and remade. And I look back now and I can see that God was doing all of these things, but I couldn't see it then. It happened along the way. You see? And then you look back and you say, wow, God was taking care of me in ways I didn't know. I really thought I was desperate in a situation that I would never be able to get out of. And now I look back and I see that God had put people in my life and God had put things in my life. I didn't even see it at the time, but I do now. Has that ever happened to you? Am I alone in this? This means yes. This means no. Has that ever happened to you? You look back and you see things differently. Wow, God was there. And God was in my life in all kinds of different ways. And now I see it. Didn't see it then, but I do now. There's a great classic, Pilgrim's Progress. It's an old book. I'd like you to read it sometime if you haven't already. A Christian has a burden on his back, and he hates the burden on his back, and he's trying to get rid of it. The guy named Evangelist says, what you need to do is go way up there and go through that little wicket gate. So he goes way up there, he runs and he falls and he crawls until finally he makes it, and the burden is still on the back. And he says, why is the burden still on my back? And his host says, well, as for the burden on your back, be content to bear it for now until you come to the place of deliverance where it will fall from your back of itself. Further down the road, it did. The Word of God, folks, isn't magical. We keep wishing it was, don't we? It's not. The Word of God itself does not heal us. The Word of God usually sends us on the path where healing overtakes us. It happened to the 10. It was a healing on the way. Somewhere on the way, they look and they discover that their ruined hands and their feet and their faces have put on new skin, and it's as perfect as a child. And don't you know they were ecstatic? And they do just about what any of us would do. They headed down the highway. They had a brand new life, and they were accelerating. And Jesus had told them to go, and going had made them better. And what are new feet for except to run? And so they did. To the priest, one of them stopped, breaks rank, turns completely around, and he is suddenly in no hurry to see the priest. He's got something wilder than compliance on his mind. He's got new skin, a new life, and he's going to do something here. He runs the other way, praising God, says Luke, with a loud voice, and he falls at the feet of Jesus, and he says, "Thank you, thank you, thank you." Think it was tidy little thank you? I'm guessing he stammered a bit. What about you? I suggest there were a few tears involved. He'd gotten a new life. And he was probably lying in the dust with praise on his lips. And that was his answer to the love that he'd received. He turned back. He knows that he needed to thank God. And he poured out this response. And it was love and gladness and praise. And now Luke adds a little bit of information. I don't know if you caught this or not. He was a what? He was a Samaritan. Oh. Well, he'd been cleansed from one stigma. He still had another one. He's going to have to deal with this one his whole life. He's going to be an outcast. He's the outcast of all outcasts, and he came back to pour out praises to Jesus. And Jesus says, "Where are the nine? They're out there doing what you told them to do." They're literalists. God love them. They're doing what God told them to do. And they've taken the road as commanded, and they've gotten better on the road, and now they seem to think that the best thing they can do is just stay on that road. And they're like Forrest Gump with the football. You remember that movie? Run, Forrest, run. He keeps right on running, right out of the stadium. And the celebration is happening, and Forrest is gone. Part of what keeps these guys running is their eagerness to be certified. That's what the priest is going to give them. It's a certification of their healing, and their memberships are going to be restored. And I suppose that a Samaritan knows not to trust that stuff so much. Maybe he knows that the establishment of all the important people really can't give him anything that matters. Maybe he knows that everything that matters, well, he's already been given. And he also knows what time it is. It's time for a wild doxology, not the kind that we sing here, not that kind of doxology. It's a wild doxology. He turns loose. We don't turn loose too often here, do we? He turns loose. He lets love sing. It's a necessary song, folks. Because here's the thing, until we find ourselves there, we won't be whole. You can run down the road of doing all the right things until the cows come home, and it will make you better, but it will not make you whole. Jesus gave 10 healings that day. Everybody obeyed his commands, got new skin, but only one of them, the one who poured out his praise to God, was made whole. That's what Jesus says to this one. Your faith has made you better than well. Your faith has made you whole. You know what it feels like to be made whole? Not just cured of the illness, but made whole. Jesus required obedience. That's the necessary part. But he loves the unnecessary part as well. The part where we run back to God, we improvise our own free expression of love and praise to God. It's in the rhythm of both that we become complete. If Jesus stood with us today, do you think he would say, "Where are the nine?" Or looking at us, would he say, "Where is the one?" Sometimes I think we look for all the world like the dutifully procession of lepers trying to do the right thing. Half-whole people trying to do the right stuff as if we're doing it for someone else's approval. We're living for God, and we think because we're doing what God wants us to do that God will think better of us. Others might think better of us too. And we've come to a moment that's just a little bit awkward. See, if I start telling you now that you're supposed to give thanks, you'd probably do it because I told you you're supposed to do it. That's not how it works. Are you getting this? I can't tell you to be thankful. That would be a commandment, right? And Jesus told the ten, "Now afterwards, I want you guys to come back and I want you to give thanks and to praise me." Do you think they would have done it? Sure. But that wouldn't make them whole. And that's not how it works. So I can't tell you what to do. I can point you to some possibilities. So if this week you find yourself marching through the duties of the day and you thought occurs to you that you know that you are a very, very fortunate person. And you see somebody else who's in need and the thought occurs to you, "I'd kind of like to do something for them." Can I suggest something to you? Why not? I mean, just because you're thankful for everything that God's done for you. Not because you have to. But there's something inside you that just wants to. Or if you're thinking about your life and all the things that have happened to you and all that you've received and everything that's left, and the wild thought occurs to you that I need to offer my life to God in some new way. I just need to do that. I'm really not sure what God wants to do with my life, but I am so thankful for everything that God has done for me that I want you to use me in some new way. Why not? I know it's kind of wild. Folks, just do it. Just do it. Do it for God. And I hope you know you're supposed to pay attention to the commandments and to the law. But you're also supposed to pay attention to your heart. And I believe your heart is telling you, that there are ways that God can use your life and your love that will really make a difference. And there's this wonderful urge to do the unnecessary thing. It's an answer of love and thanks to God. In the text, it means coming back to the best memories you've got, give praise back to the people who truly give meaning to your life and offer thanks to them. Come back to God, your source, your healer, your strength, your life. Lay down your love at the feet of that love and come back to the wholeness that God wants for you. You know, God has given so much to me. I hope God will give me one more thing. A grateful heart. A grateful heart. And I hope that I can live out of that. That's what'll make you whole. Let's pray. God, you're the one who's heard our cries of mercy. You're the one who's set a path down for us to make us better. Help us, Lord, today to hear our hearts and to do the unnecessary that makes us whole. Help us to love you more dearly. Help us to praise you more fully. Help us to serve you in glad ways. Help us, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you would help us to have thankful, truly thankful hearts and lives. Amen.